report, we are following, of course, many numerous stories about the continued Barcelona or attacks in Barcelona, Spain. And I say attacks, multiple attacks, meaning one by vehicle, one apparently an explosion. Perhaps that wasn't an attack as much as it was premature detonation. But nonetheless, we are following that as we bring forth tonight Mr. Timothy Alberino and Mr. Steve Quayle, both experts in the field, talking about the ultimate deception. And that's really what where our eyes must, I believe, truly. Everything else is kind of window dressing to what really is at the heart of things here on planet Earth, shall we say, is the deception that is coming and the people that will be fooled. And so listen to what both Steve and Tim have to say. It's been an engaging first hour, and this hour promises to continue. Before we get back to our guests, if you're a business owner, I don't care, small business, the small business, medium, large business, folks, let me tell you about the best service you can have. That's ZipRecruiter.com. You know, we used ZipRecruiter to find a certain individual that we needed, and within a day and a half, we had that person using ZipRecruiter. I can attest to the fact that it works. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then, their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. They do it better than anyone else. And again, I can attest to that having used it. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. And unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Now, here's what you do. You find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, listeners to the Hagmann Report can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Hagmann. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Hagmann. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Hagmann. And I'm going to thank the fine folks at ZipRecruiter and BTR as well. Great to be partnered up with them. Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you. Let's bring them back on our guests as you've got the interface there.
Our guests are Steve Quayle from SteveQuayle.com and Timothy Alberino. Steve, right before the break, you were talking about rapture or rupture, and you only got through one of your points there.
Okay, well, I'm not trying to be cute. What I'm trying to share is this, that to rupture means to break. It means to cause to come apart. And what I'm worried about is as all these incidents take place in the world, whether they're terrorist incidents, whether they're aerial phenomenon, whether it's the eclipse, whether it's planetary alignment, stargates opening, creatures, all this stuff, we don't have to, as Christians, fear these days. We are to overcome these days. And so what I'm saying is this. If God declares that once more will he shake the heavens and the earth, then I think it's important that people understand that sometimes when God shakes our theology or our attempt to stay non-involved in reality, there are no spectators in the kingdom of God, only active participants. Whether you want to and you join in the fact that being wise is winning souls, not criticizing those who do. But the point is that we've got so many different voices out there, and even the people now that were the biggest proponents, I'm going to turn it right over to you, Tim, of, we get out of here before things get bad or really bad, yet what is the definition of really bad? Well, I'll tell you this, that the country, and Doug, you remember when I used to say this and people would give you emails or call you or say stuff, I said, we're going into a civil war. I remember saying that on Art Bell when he was still the host of Coast to Coast, and he said, well, I hope not. I reiterated when George took over, and he had a hard time embracing that. And George is a smart guy, and Art is a very smart guy. But again, the idea is, if it doesn't happen in 5 years, then, you know, you're a liar, you're a fraud, you're a doomsday, you're a fear porner guy. But what we're talking about now is that which I believe Jesus made very clear when he said, "Be ye not deceived." And so with that, I'll turn it over to you, Tim, because again, we're trying to share with people tonight. And by the way, those of you who are going to Branson are going to be live streaming, please go on our website, True Legends, plural, theseries.com, because we're going to be taking from where we left off in the Holocaust of Giants and the Unholy Sea previous to that, and we're going to take you up to the most, I would say, this compelling research and information that we've ever been given or that we've ever given out, and you'll have a chance to hear Tim interpret before Tim speaks. Man, Tim, you're going to do a lot of talking. Anselm P. Rambla, the most interesting man in the world, and both Tim and I now are in agreement on that, talk about his extensive findings in Peru and the largest stargate in the world, at least on this planet. So go ahead, Tim. You know, your thoughts as we're entering into this time of, you know, the revelation of flying saucers, the in essence, the Matthew 24 period, the thoughts you have currently as you read, you're a voracious reader, you obviously are a voracious researcher, and you'll eat anything in the world as long as, I guess, it isn't dead on the road. That's a, Tim once told me he eats anything, and when he ran through the litany of what he ate, it shocked me, and I thought, man, that guy is literally Tim of the jungle. Go ahead, Tim.
I eat everything except for people, so yeah. That's where I draw the line.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Also, if people are wanting to live stream the conference, it's gen6conferences.com. I don't think I have a link up on truelegendstheseries.com, so you can go directly to gen6conferences.com to sign up for the live streaming. And, you know, I've been working on my presentation that I'm going to be delivering at the conference. And yes, I have to translate Anselm P. Rambla right before my presentation, so hopefully I'm not out of gas before I get on the stage to do my presentation. But Anselm is a wild guy. I mean, his research is phenomenal, and I think everybody who comes into contact with Anselm, let's just put it this way, is impressed with that man. I think you would agree, Steve, that everybody who comes into contact with him is just, their minds are blown, because this is the guy, he's the real deal in terms of an explorer. And so anyways, but at the conference, I know that there's some things that I've been preparing that I want to say that have sort of, they've been sort of disparate thoughts floating around in my head that are suddenly coming together in a coherent way. And so that excites me, because I feel like there's a divine purpose for the information that's coming forth at this conference. And I'm not saying that to hype the conference. It's just a fact. So, one of the things that I'm going to be talking about is the resurgence of the Atlantean Empire. And, it has to do exactly with what we've been talking about tonight. And, many people are aware that there's a very strange scenario that we discover concerning a final world empire that's going to emerge on the earth at the end of the age, that's detailed for us in the second chapter of Daniel. This is the chapter in which Daniel is interpreting a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had concerning a statue he saw. He saw a statue in his dream, and the statue was comprised of various kinds of metals. And these metals were representative of pre-flood empires. The sequence of empires that had arisen in the earth since the flood of Noah. And it gives us insight, it gives us a preview of the final empire that will arise on the earth. And many of you are familiar with this topic. Some people have been talking about this for a while. But there's some things in here that I think slip past people when they look at this situation. First of all, the head of the statue was made of gold, and we're told what kingdom that was. That was the kingdom of Babylon. This is Daniel's interpretation of the statue to Nebuchadnezzar. The chest, and arms of the statue were made of silver. This is the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. The midsection of the statue was made of bronze. The midsection and the thighs were made of bronze. And of course, these were the only empire that had manifested itself at the time that Daniel was interpreting this dream was the King Nebuchadnezzar's empire, the Babylonian empire. So the midsection of the statue was bronze. This represented the kingdom, the empire of Greece. The legs are interesting. The legs were made of iron. And this represented the kingdom, the empire of Rome. And it's very representative of the empire of Rome because, as many of you know, the empire of Rome split in two, represented by the two legs in the statue. There was the Western Empire and there was the Eastern Empire. It split in two after Constantine. And then there's a final world empire. So we're told that between the Roman Empire and this final world empire, there's not really going to be another world empire, at least in consideration in this statue. So the last empire that's registered in this statue in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar is the Roman Empire, the Western and the Eastern manifestation of the Roman Empire. Well, many people don't realize that in theory, the Roman Empire has never really ceased to exist. The other empires were conquered, overthrown, and annihilated. The Roman Empire was never really conquered. It just sort of dissolved into something else. It morphed into something else. It went from being a political power to a religious power. The Western side of the Roman Empire became, the political power was transformed, because remember that the Pope, that the Caesar of Rome was called the Pontifex Maximus. That was the title of the political ruler of Rome, who was also the spiritual ruler of the Roman Empire. That title was conferred, was bequeathed to the Pope of Rome. And so it was a very subtle transfer of power from the Empire of Rome, the political empire of Rome, to the religious Roman Empire, which we know today as the Roman Catholic Church, the Western end. And then the Eastern side became the Orthodox Church, not as powerful as the Western, as its Western counterpart, but nonetheless the continuation of the Eastern Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, which was the Roman Empire, the Eastern version of the Roman Empire. And so we have had, since the days of the political Roman Empire, we have had a continuation of Rome and a religious manifestation in Western Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy, both of which, again, are a continuation of Rome. And the reason why that's important, and this, I think, slips by people, even people who have studied Daniel 2 in great depth, is that the final empire on earth is a continuation of that iron, of that final empire. I mean, of the previous empire, I should say. Because the final empire is the feet of the statue represented by a mixture of iron and clay. Well, the iron is the continuation of the previous empire. But in our time, that continuation is the religious empire, the Western and Eastern Catholicism, the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodoxy. But there's this new element, this clay that's mixed into the equation. And we're told what the clay is. Well, we're not told exactly what the clay is, but we're given a hint as to what the clay is, because we're told that, Daniel says, as you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they will not adhere or cleave to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. So here we have they being inserted into this situation, into this statue, into this final empire, the feet of this final empire. There's this mysterious they who are suddenly in the equation. Now, we know that the they are not a natural part of the continuation of the iron, of the previous world empire, the Roman Empire. They are mixed in to this scenario, okay? Well, let's think about that. The continuation of the Roman Empire is the religious aspect, the religious manifestation. So the they, this additive, this clay additive, that's apparently not a human component, because they're mixing themselves with the seed of men. So there's your distinction. This is not the seed of men. They're mixing themselves with the seed of men. Particularly, they are mixing themselves with the religious continuation of the Roman Empire. And this is the part that slips by a lot of people. So, what am I saying? What is this implying? First of all, let me say that at the end of the day, this entire statue at the end of the vision is demolished by a stone that comes down, and it demolishes the statue. It annihilates this final empire, and from this stone, it grows into a great mountain. That is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the end of the vision. I mean, that's what happens at the end. So no matter who the they are, they're going to be annihilated. Their empire will be annihilated. But it's interesting to note that you have the two legs that are perfectly describing the two Roman empires, west and east, and then you have the feet, which the feet have 10 toes. There are 10 toes on the feet, and suddenly we have these 10 kings in the book of Revelation. And we have to now start thinking about these 10 kings and the unfolding of the prophetic scenario in the book of Revelation as not entirely human, because there is a they component that is mingling with the seed of men. And if you look into the, and we were talking about the occult, the phenomenon of the accelerated, of the public acceleration of the occult in the United States and in the Western world. One of the things, one of the primary objectives of the occult, of the mystery schools worldwide, without a doubt, and you can read Manly P. Hall, all you have to do is read Manly P. Hall and you're going to find this out immediately, is the resurrection and the restoration of the Atlantean Empire, of the Atlantean paradigm, which is to say, the resurrection of the Golden Age, the time when the gods were among men and were mingling themselves with the seed of men. So what we see in Daniel's statue is a resurgence of the Atlantean paradigm, and it goes further. Atlantis had 10 kings. I believe that there was a city of Atlantis, or a city reminiscent of Atlantis in the pre-flood world, but I also believe that Atlantis is an analogy of the antediluvian world and the antediluvian paradigm in general, because it was Poseidon, according to Greek myth, who took a human wife and gave birth to five sets of twins who ruled over not only over the island of Atlantis, but the empire of Atlantis that was a global empire. So the occult is working towards the resurrection of the Golden Age, of the time when the gods mingled themselves with the seed of men. Enter the UFO phenomenon. Enter the alien abductions. Enter this entire ufological situation. And I believe it's absolutely correlates with the idea of the resurrection of the Golden Age. That's why the occult is accelerating all of this and is being used as a mouthpiece and as a vehicle through which these entities are beginning to rebuild the empire that was lost in the judgment of God beneath the waves of the great flood. It is going to resurge in the earth. And I go into much more detail in my presentation. I think there's some very surprising and shocking information in my presentation that I'm not going to divulge here, but that will be a part of my presentation in Branson. So what we have is, getting back to the Church of Rome, the spiritual manifestation. And by the way, let me just say this, and I know Steve can attest to this. There's a lot of people talking about a lot of things out there now on the internet, in the world of YouTube. Everything from Mandela effect to flat earth, everything in between. But there are very few subjects that are going to get people kicked off of YouTube or in a situation where there's an attempted murder. And the subject that I'm about to talk about is one of those subjects. This is not just some kind of a light thing that we kick around haphazardly. This is very serious. And we are right now in the process, Steve and I are in the process of putting together the expedition for episode 4 of our True Legend series. And I'm not going to go any further than that. We're not going to divulge where we're going or what we're doing because it's highly sensitive. But we're actively working on this. And the information that we're getting from certain parts of the Earth that are not areas that we've gone into thus far in our series are absolutely confirming and underlining and highlighting what we've been saying all along. It's amazing. Steve approached me some months ago and said, I feel like we need to go here. And I didn't really know what was going on in this area of the world that Steve was pointing to, but I found out later on, my God, this is a amalgamation of everything we've been talking about, and it takes it to the next level. So, and it has to do with a lot of different things that we've dealt with in our films. But so back to this manifestation of this religious empire and the they that's mingling themselves with it, specifically with this empire, the continuation of the iron in the legs. It is the religious world system under the dominion of the Church of Rome and the Orthodox Church. This isn't to pick on Catholics, as Steve always says, and as I'm reiterating. It has nothing to do with Catholics. It has to do with a hierarchy that has, as I use this term in, concerning the U.S. government's activity with non-human entities, has made a Faustian bargain with non-human demonic entities. And it appears now, it appears that the great threat to the world in terms of religious threat is Islam. And indeed, Islam is a great threat and a terrible threat. But we're coming to something that's an even greater threat. And it is the formulation of a world religion. And the formulation of the world religion is going to be based around a very strong delusion and the people who are in the background already formulating this world religion are actively in contact with non-human entities, and that information is coming to us and is being confirmed by multiple sources. So this is a very intense subject matter because it really gets to the heart of what's going on. We will witness a resurgence of the Empire of the Gods from the antediluvian age, from the Atlantean Empire. That dynamic, that paradigm will resurge in the earth at the end of the age. And it's going to fundamentally consist of several different dynamics that we talk about over and over and over. One of those dynamics is the UFO stuff, because they are mingling themselves with the seed of men. And I believe there's a very... there's a distinct reason why they're mingling themselves with the seed of men, and it's part of the reason is what I tried to elucidate, perhaps not very effectively, the last time I was on your show, and that is that the human race is running out of time, genetically speaking. Our genetic clock is ticking; it's ticking to midnight. We're running out of time. And we're coming into a very apocalyptic scenario for the human race, regardless of whatever geopolitical situations unfold on the earth. There is an even more urgent crisis unfolding in the genome of the human being, and it is inevitable, and it is coming. And so it's going to precipitate a host of different the falling, let's say, of a host of dominoes that are going to begin to collapse right in front of us. And I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's coming. So there is a resurgence of the antediluvian empire from the world before the flood of Noah that is already beginning. The pieces are beginning to come together. They are mingling themselves with the seed of men. And that final world empire is going to grow up out of the ruins, the religious a manifestation, the ruins of the Roman Empire. The word ruins isn't the continuation of the Roman Empire, the legs of iron, which are now in a religious manifestation in the Church of Rome and in the Orthodox Church. And people may say, well, the Church of Rome, the Orthodox Church, and I see this online all the time, why do they like to pick on them? And they're basically irrelevant now. Now it's all about Islam. Now it's all about, postmodernism and secularism. And and atheism, no, I beg to differ. I think that what's percolating in the background, behind the curtains, over in Vatican City, is much more of a threat, much more dynamic, much more important than anything that we're seeing on the geopolitical stage yet, or currently, I should say. So, this is something that I think is overlooked, in terms of this continuation of Rome, the iron mixed with clay, the religious continuation of the Empire of Rome, and the admixture of these non-human entities, that are already beginning to mingle themselves with the seed of men. And so that's why it is important to have a realistic, a pragmatic, and a rational view of ufology, UFOs, aliens, and everything that we're dealing with here. Because, in a sense, what I feel like we are doing by talking about this information, by focusing on this kind of information and reiterating it over and over, because I was praying about this the other day, what good is it really doing? Are we really having an impact? And what I felt in my spirit was the Lord telling me that what we're doing is we're creating a vanguard, that we're creating an informational vanguard, if you will, that we are going before the people and pulling the curtains back before the official disclosure moment, when people will be a shock and awe situation, even though we are already gradually being acclimated to these ideas, the ideas of extraterrestrial life and so forth, as I talked about before. So I feel like this is creating a vanguard. This is putting the information out there in advance, giving people time to understand it, giving people time to modify their paradigms that need modification, to mature in the Lord, to mature in the way that we process information, and to become advanced in our thinking and ready for the advanced assault that is, again, percolating in the background. And I don't think it is a coincidence that there are all of these red herrings being thrown into the mix on the internet, on YouTube, and in other places. And I think a lot of you know what red herrings I'm referring to, that are causing people to go down all of these different trails, and breaking up what was, I would say that what was about 5 years ago, a solid front, pressing forward into the idea of a secret space program, into the idea of the ufological stuff, into the idea of the ruling elite and the Luciferian plans that are being concocted in secret. I think that there was a more unified push, and so there was some psyops launched to break up that community. You can call them the Christian truther community, whatever you want to call it. And so we're seeing already an offensive that has been launched against us, and it is having, unfortunately, a real effect. And so I'm going to kick it back to you guys.
Wow. Doug, do you want to say anything before I take it?
Tim, is there any way you can expand on what you just said with respect to the unified front and the attempt to derail that? I know you've got to be careful, but for those who don't know what you're referring to, perhaps you can just kind of nudge that a little bit more.
Well, as I said, I feel like what's been happening is a vanguard is being prepared.
Yes.
Is moving forward and has been coming together for some time, and so the objective was to break it up.
Right.
Break it up, because there's too much quality information coming forth. The pieces are coming together, so it's like slamming a cue ball into the rack and breaking the balls apart, so that they go in their different directions and go down different rabbit holes. So, and I would say, and I think people know what I'm talking about, although this will be very controversial to a lot of people listening, but I don't really care at this point. I really do believe that the flat Earth thing is a psyop. And I know that Steve wholeheartedly agrees with me,
and there's a lot of things
out there that are psyops that are being purposely interjected into the mix in order to create discord and break up that vanguard of information, because I think people were getting very close to some things, especially as they pertain to the secret space program, and to everything involved in what we've been talking about tonight.
Okay.
And by the way, Doug, I'm not aware of anybody that has lost their life or has had an attempt on their life because they're exposing the flat Earth. And yet we can name multiple individuals who have been murdered for exposing the alien question and the government's interaction with aliens in underground bases and for talking about the Church of Rome and their involvement in all of this.
And that's fair enough. I mean, you just covered what I was looking for, essentially. Okay, good. Thank you. And you're absolutely correct. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, in Branson, I'm going to be presenting the Mars Earth Wars. And like I said, because it's so wonderfully beautiful, here's what I'm telling you, that Mars and Earth were so much alike. We're within 98.2%, plus or minus the tenth or two-tenths of a percent of spin axis of Mars and its rotational speed and also, you know, its tilt on its axis. I believe in astral catastrophism. That means that one of the things that is really pertinent in the Old Testament is God said, though you exalt yourself amongst the stars, yet will I bring ye down. And that is a pretty prominent statement. I believe the fallen angels that were on Earth that were aware of the flood and aware of the judgment on their children, the giants, many of them fled off planet. Now the question is, were certain groups of them, did they have their wings clipped? Did they lose their supernatural ability to transcend dimensions or time and space when they committed the horrible acts they committed, to which the Book of Enoch addresses and also the Book of Giants? And by the way, people, you can go on my, I have another website, I never talk about it enough, I guess, Genesis6Giants.com, Genesis6Giants.com, and look at the ancient text up on the nav bar. But the gist of it is we're seeing right now the interest in Mars, and Mars had an elliptical orbit. And I can quote enough philosophers, enough historians, enough primal witnesses who wrote it down that while one thing was happening on one side of the world, the other side of the world was witnessing even volcanoes on Mars, Olympus Mons. When you have a thing called Roche's limit, that the greater, if you will, density and gravity of a heavenly body can not only influence, it can destroy. Prior to the destruction, there's a plasma discharge. It's my contention that the Valle Marineris, the equivalent of the Grand Canyon on Mars, which is 2,500 miles long and I think 5 miles deep, an arc, if you will, a plasma discharge between Mars and Earth is what created the Grand Canyon. I categorically reject that it was just a hydrological event because of the location. In other words, you take the axis point of the Earth at that time, and I'm talking 700 years B.C. That was the last what was called Mars flyby. In order to disturb a planet out of its orbit, you must have a gravitational effect, a gravitational influence, whether they call it Planet X, Nibiru, whatever. The point is, something happened, and God brought his judgment on Rahab. Now, it's fascinating. Just as we have twins in the Scripture, obviously you have Cain and Abel. Obviously you have the situation of Jacob and Esau. The point being is that one's good, one's evil. There's a reason why the ancients were terrified of astral catastrophism. Velikovsky had part of it right, but they mocked him. The uniformitarian people and the evolutionists just mocked Velikovsky. He was a genius. You talk about somebody that understood orbital physics, and even Tesla understood orbital physics. And by the way, orbital means circular. The gravity has to be equal on all pressure points of the Earth, and so as Mars came by, nobody's recording in ancient history, yeah, I saw it, a triangle or a parallelogram. No, it's crazy. And the thing is that now we're seeing, if you go to a subatomic level, photons, all of the subatomic particles, muons, gluons, and every other ons that are out there and still to be found and named, there is a reason why things are circular. Pi, the universal constant. Everything that is a universal constant, constant, mathematically, it centers around pi. Even the occultists know that. And the thing that's interesting to me is mathematics, and by the way, I'm the last guy to talk about advanced mathematics. I can understand the concept, but, you know, hey, the way I used to balance my checkbook, you'll appreciate this, Tim and Doug, I used to just open a bank account when I figured I, you know, was close to running out of money, I'd open another one. And I'm not exaggerating that. The point being is that when you're dealing with quantum physics, when you're dealing with quantum mechanics, when you're dealing with orbital physics, and this is what I find interesting, when you're dealing with geoglyphs that the late David Flynn brought out in excellence in Cydonia, The Secret Chronicle of Mars, which, by the way, I brought that back into print. I wrote about, I don't know, 42, 44-page introduction. And when NASA, never a straight answer, was glibly or smart-alecky saying, you know, the Martian Morse code, I'm going to deal with that. We have a brother, I won't name him, and thank you, you know who I'm talking about, that was on our trip with us, who was kind enough to match up the Martian geoglyphs with the Bolivian, the Martian Morse code, which they called sand dunes. Well, how is it that those sand dunes match the geoglyphs on the Altiplano in Bolivia? What David Flynn said, there was a language. Doug, I put out a request on your show, and I had two guys who were, by their own confession, pretty bright guys, but they just couldn't grasp how to decipher this. Now, you may need a supercomputer, and it may be in God's time. It is my contention that NASA knows exactly what the language of the ancients is. It's inscribed in the earth. And by the way, Jesus said if the people didn't cry Hosanna, even the rocks would cry out. I'm telling you point blank, the rocks are going to cry out. They're going to give up their secrets. Because again, the Martian Morse code, and I coined a new term called the Marzetta Stone, similar to the Rosetta Stone. You couldn't have understood hieroglyphics had it not been for the Rosetta Stone that basically had a if you will, cursive form of hieroglyphics translated into Greek, and therefore that's how we learned how to read Egyptian hieroglyphics, the Rosetta Stone. So when I put out there that I'm looking for someone to do this, what I wanted them to do was three-dimensionally basically take the geoglyphs of Bolivia, and then I wanted to three-dimensionally model the, if you will, sand dunes on Mars. Now, this is beyond my capability. I mean, I'm a move-the-mouse guy. Thank God that Tim's got the talents he's got in computers and that he's young and you know, knows all this stuff. But what we've come up with is a parallel, if you will, language. And it's binary, but what's interesting to me, it also bears kind of semblance to Ogham, O-G-A-M. It basically bears witness to some of the early Phoenician script. And so here's what I want people to understand. When we're talking about fallen angels are they beheld the wonders and the mysteries of God before they fell. They choose to rebel. They choose to insert themselves, as the book of Jude says, and have impure relations with earth women. Now look, the sons of Seth, they were the equivalent of the size of their countrymen. You know, and the thing that's interesting to me is everything after its kind. David wasn't fighting Goliath because Goliath was a son of Seth. The giants hated God. Tim basically found a recitation on a pillar, you know, and it came as a shock to everybody. But the giants said before, or on their way to Sardinia, that they were fleeing from Joshua the usurper. And it seems like Sardinia was the island in which, you know, the giants decided where they're going to head to the rest of the world. But I want to share this. The advanced mathematics of the universe was shown to Enoch. The secret occult societies have supposedly the Emerald Tablets of Tote, T-O-T-H. They supposedly have a second or a third depository of the library that was at Alexandria, Virginia, that was destroyed. So all this hidden knowledge, and the word hidden occult knowledge, is so that they, at the time of their choosing, the Luciferian fallen angel global galactic conspiracy, it can basically deceive mankind with the ultimate end game of destroying the very last human being. And Jesus said, if the days weren't shortened, there'd be no flesh left alive. That really couldn't even be embraced 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Maybe with the advent of the atom bomb, the whole world would blow up. Everybody would die of radiation poisoning. It'd be over. But now you see it coming at us from all ways, all directions. You're seeing euthanasia, you know, where countries now, Iceland, is killing any child with Down syndrome, and they're being applauded. We're seeing the abortion industry, but it goes beyond the abortion. It's gone into the religion of the Canaanites, eating the children, you know. And what I guess my pet peeve, Doug, and this is a pet peeve, we can talk about this stuff, but it's important for the people of God, those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who've asked Jesus Christ to come into their life and be their personal Lord and Saviors, who have repented from their sin, who are looking to Jesus, to realize that it is your responsibility, and God gives you the authority to stand against the evil. Yet I can only share this, and I know that Tim and I talk about this all the time out at our studio. What has become of Christendom claimants that are absolutely terrified of everything, and they'll spend more time bashing us than they will of standing up for Jesus. Now, whether they are known of the Lord or not, they claim to know him. And as I shared one time on your show, very powerful revelation, and I took it to heart. It's not so much that I say, I know Jesus. Will Jesus say, welcome? Or will he say, depart from me, ye who work lawlessness, I never knew you. So as this whole metaphysical, and I talk about metaphysical, a better word would be supranatural, above the nature. I want to read a couple things because I know we're going fast out of time. From Whitley Strieber, who I have interviewed a couple times. I think he interviewed me once years and years ago. He wrote the book Communion. About an abductee as an abductee. It took the world by storm. He said, increasingly I felt as if I were entering a struggle that might even be more than life and death. It might be a struggle for my soul, my essence, or whatever part of me might have reference to the eternal. There are worse things than death, I suspect. So far, the word demon had never been spoken among the scientists and doctors who were working with me. Alone at night, I worried about the legendary cunning of demons. At the very least, I was going stark, raving mad. I felt an indescribable sense of menace. It was hell on earth to be there in the presence of the entities. And yet I couldn't move, couldn't cry out, couldn't get away. I'd lay as still as death, suffering inner agonies. Whatever was there seemed so monstrously ugly, so filthy and dark and sinister. Of course they were demons. They had to be. And they were here, and I couldn't get away. That's why, listen, he said they're so filthy and dark. Jesus called them unclean spirits. And he said when the demons are cast out of people, Jesus speaking, they go and they walk in dark, dry places. Now, it's interesting to me that the giants and the, if you will, their, if you will, when the giants were killed, in other words, the hybrid half-human, half-fallen angel spirit that was set free when Goliath was murdered, that's out there someplace. So imagine this. Imagine the Illuminati. When I said this 20 years ago, I don't know if you listened to me then, Tim, probably not, but the point being, as I said, imagine the most evil group of people looking for the most evil DNA that's out there, tombs of whatever. I use Gilgamesh illustration then. And imagine them wanting to bring back the bodies to, if you will, genetically reproduce them so that the evil spirits that the Book of Enoch and the Book of Giants both talk about have a homecoming, if you will. It will be worse than we're back. When whatever story that was. But the point is that we're seeing right now the desire for men to be as gods. And I'm telling you this, Branson is going to be probably one of the most, I would say, revelatory and striking conferences. Not because there aren't other people out there doing good works, but the focus of ours is to give people the understanding of the root of evil, the fruit of evil, and God bless the Lord, and the victory over evil. We'll have Henry Gruber there speaking, and I don't know anybody who walks in a more supernatural world than he does. I just don't know of any. If there are, I don't know of any. But, and then David Langford preparing the people of God. Even the man that was giving me a hard time about how dare we not have enough seats. Look, we got the biggest venue that was available in Branson, and he had all this time, yet he was busting my because, you know, we should have known that. Well, we'd warned everybody, Doug, so we're just telling you this. Live streaming, you buy it in batches of time. So that's filling up fast. And I think people thought that we were just trying to pitch it to fill it. Not at all. The point is that I believe in the law of impartation. I believe that the people that come there will get a blessing, but I believe the people that live stream it will share the same blessing. I believe the people that get it on video will share the same blessing. And the video will contain, I've got two video presentations I'll be giving, and they're both linked up to my topic, and I've got a lot of, I got 44 years of research to cover in 90 minutes, and for all of you out there, I am trying my best, and Tim is helping me to be as linear as I can. I will have my notes, I'll know what my screen images are, and I have 30 minutes to cover the pre-Adamic angel of angelic civilizations, the Egyptians and their effect on history as recorded by even Solon when he was talking to the priests of Sais. And basically what the priests of Sais said to Solon that obviously Plato was privy to is he said, when it comes to matters of understanding ancient history and catastrophism, you Greeks are but children. There have always been catastrophes and always will be. What are we looking at right now? We're looking at a global concern for number one, the eclipse. And by the way, I think that people had better understand that I see it crossing the United States. Look at how it's dividing this country, just as a country is being divided racially, politically, spiritually, morally, physically, and I don't know when the great quakes come, but they're coming, and every other way. So the United States is now in the, if you will, the eclipse of its greatness. And I want to share this. Everything we're teaching, talking about, our prime directive, Tim gave his declaration of faith, I've given mine many times, it is the Word of God, the first chapter of Genesis into the third chapter of Genesis that absolutely propelled me into the quest for truth, because something happened in the book of Genesis that basically when God judged a pre-Adamic world, people say, well, I don't believe in that. Then pray about it, and you might come to the realization that when God says replenish the earth, contrary to all the arguments against it, it literally means cause that which was to come forth again. But it was with an exchange made basically that the pre-Adamic world was wiped out, and then the Adamic world was wiped out again. There's two floods. There's Jeremiah's flood and Noah's flood. I'm going to be differentiating this. So between all of the speakers, Derek Gilbert talking about Inception, Dr. Michael Lake talking about the Shinar Directive, L.A. Marzulli talking about the aliens and the stuff he's going to be dealing with, and then Anselm P. Rambla explaining the absolute, if you will, archaeo-astronomical perfection of Peru, especially Cusco and the different areas that Sacsayhuaman, and all of the area that the heavens line up with. I mean, this is supernatural mathematics. So we want to invite everybody to absolutely live stream this. Now, those of you who are getting the videos, my video presentations will be incorporated in that. And I can tell you this, you know, I think you'll be blown away, because there's going to be some answers to a lot of questions. I categorically reject uniformitarianism. I reject it totally. I believe in catastrophism. I believe that God made it very clear that he is who he is, and he can use whatever he desires, and that the ancients were terrified of the heavens for good reason, and with all the people. Look, I'm in Bozeman, Montana. Tim's in Bozeman. We're maybe, what, 3-4 hours away from Jackson Hole. You know that people are coming all from all over the world to Jackson Hole to take ski lift rides up to the top of the mountains. They've got a couple ski areas there, and basically to see 7 minutes worth of the eclipse, 8 seconds of totality, and there's going to be tens of millions of people, if not more, on the road going to high points, even in Bozeman. Even in Bozeman, all helicopters are rented, and some of these things rent. My friend, Mark Taylor, he said all of the helicopters are rented, and there, people are spending huge amounts of money to spend, 7.5 minutes watching an eclipse. So I think it's important that people understand this, that just as the ancients were terrified, and eclipses always, always signal judgment, we are now in the same time period because the internet is abuzz with the eclipses, the planetary alignments, and all of the situations. And one of the things that people don't understand, if in the book of Job, the oldest book in the Bible, God, in contending with Job, asked Job if he can answer or even comment on the gentle influence of Pleiades, the seven sisters. Ladies and gentlemen, it's fascinating that all of the astronomically heavenly bodies are uniquely, wonderfully placed. If you want to know, go look up Bode's Law. The planet that should have been between Mars and Jupiter doesn't exist. It exists as the asteroid belt. So something happened, and so cataclysm is the order of the day. I maintain that people who are used to apathy and indifference are going to have to be confronted with some of the most horrific stuff, and because they wouldn't take responsibility in their faith, claiming to be Christians, to share the gospel, the good news that Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is why we are so passionate about what we do. Go ahead, Tim. You can finish it out. Take it off.
Well, this, I think needless to say, suffice it to say, this conference is going to be a paradigm buster. And I can say that confidently because I know I've been watching Steve put his presentation together. I've been putting my presentation together. I've been in communication with Anselm and with L.A. Marsouli and some of the other people who are going to be at the conference. And we're definitely in a very interesting period of time. And some of the most astounding things that are going to unfold on the earth have yet to unfold, but are getting ready to unfold. And that's why I believe we're doing this. As I said before, I'll say it again. What we're doing is we're forming a vanguard to prepare people for the onslaught that's coming. And this is something that is, we may be entering in, I believe we are entering into the time, the period of time that the Bible addresses more than any other period of time, the end of the age. And so, it's amazing to be alive during this period of time, to watch all of these things come together. And I mean, we're looking at sort of the macro scale of all of this, and then even when you look at the micro scale, which I would consider to be the geopolitical situations that are unfolding on the earth, just the rebellion and the lawlessness that you're seeing break out all over the earth in the United States, we are certainly living in a very dynamic time. So I also encourage people, if this information is new to you, I encourage you to watch our series, our documentary film series. That's why we made it, because we started at the beginning, and we talk about the technology of the fallen. We talk about the unholy sea, what we call the unholy sea, and we talk about the Holocaust of giants. And basically everything that we've talked about tonight is interwoven through those films. And so if this is new to you, I suggest that you go and you take a look at our films. They're available on TrueLegendsTheSeries.com. They're in CD, they're in a DVD, Blu-ray, and streaming format. So you can stream them on Vimeo. It's unlimited streaming. Again, I would encourage you to go reference those films if this content is new to you. I'm assuming, though, that most of the audience listening to us and that will be listening to us in the rebroadcast on YouTube and iTunes and what else are very familiar with this topic matter. So we have these films out there. We have the conference coming, and we have another expedition, another film in the works. So we're very busy here at Gen 6 Productions. And I just want to thank you guys, Doug and Joe, for having us on again. And I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Well, thank you, Thank you both. It was a fantastic show. I've got to tell you, it was a fantastic presentation, and the importance of this topic to me, it's of utmost importance. And you really, both you and Tim, you and Steve, really broke it down in such a manner where people can understand how such I don't want to say obscure, but historical how history affects the present, and how this deception, the coming deception, is and understanding it is a way for us to be able to fight it. And thank you for that, both of you. Steve,
well, Doug, again, I would just like to thank you for having us on. And the fact that Atlantis will rise again, that was the theme of the mystery schools. That is the theme of all that is going on behind the scenes. Tim quoted Manly P. Hall, Blavatsky. All of the, if you will, the hellish excitement is building to this point. And one of the interesting things is there was a prophecy by the Cumaean Sibyl, and this is interesting because it reveals that the Antichrist would be opposed by two witnesses from the book of Revelation, identified with the Elijah and Enoch, after having killed the witnesses and started a final persecution of the Christians. But then it goes on to say the Antichrist will be slain by the power of God through Michael the Archangel on the Mount of Olives. Well, I don't know about this, but what I will tell you is this. There's also an attribution to the Cumaean Sibyl, meaning a prophetess, that the old gods would fade away, but then at the end of the age, they would come back, in full force and full fury. So I would say to every Christian out there worldwide, because you know we get people from all over the world listening to your broadcast, that be of good courage. Jesus said, I've conquered the world. And he will give you the power, the knowledge, and the understanding to be able to cope with this stuff. And my fight as a talk radio host, and I guess now as a guest on a lot of different shows, is that people will understand that Tim's word vanguard, by the way, is one of the names of the first missiles too. It actually means also to stand guard and to hold back, but it was associated with a missile. In the Bible, one last thought, parting. I believe God, when he says his angels are ministering spirits of fire, I believe that God, in his wisdom, when he created all the angels and called them into being, I believe those were the, that were, if they will, those, that's what they're created out of. I don't know how God did it. Just as we're created out of the earth. So I believe that passage in Daniel, as Tim has rightly defined, the mixing the clay and the iron, it refers exactly to that the idea of this, the angelic host, the ones that kept not their first estate, that took on corporeal bodies, in other words, they could eat, they could do whatever they could do in the form of a man. I believe those entities in an evil form are the true rulers of the world behind the scenes, pulling the puppet strings of everybody that's pretty much, with few exceptions, everybody that's on the political scene and the religious scene that is empowered by money, corruption, greed, and lust. I believe the fallen angels have played humanity, and they're yet to have their final stage appearance. And that is on the earth now. It is already happening. Pray for President Trump. Pray that the evil that surrounds him, including those who he considers trusted advisors or even family members or in-laws, pray that God expose that. Pray, brothers and sisters, for him. Pray that God gives him a dream and shows him who is for him and who's against him, and that God himself remove those who wish him harm and evil.
Amen. Steve, we're absolutely out of time. Thank you so much to Steve Quayle and Tim Alberino. We will be back tomorrow. Have a great night.